Last week on Let's Talk Supply Chain, we had not one, but two brand new episodes for you. In the first, I was excited to be joined by Ryan Peterson, founder and newly reappointed CEO of Flexport. Now, we all know that Flexport has been hitting the headlines, but I think it's true to say that we don't always know the full story. So I wanted to ask the big questions, the questions that I know you've all been wondering about. And Ryan really opened up and did a great job of answering those questions for us. He shared some of the changes going on behind the scenes, the brand's recent acquisitions and what they mean for Flexport, and what he's learned from a turbulent 2023. Ryan also talked about what we can expect from the industry in 2024, customer experience, and the increasing role AI has to play across the industry, and so much more. It was a jam-packed episode with plenty to learn. Whether you want to know what moves Flexport will make next, or you're just interested to hear what 2024 emerging trends will look like, according to an industry leader. The second of last week's new shows was this month's episode of Blended, and we were talking about bias. Now, bias is a topic that comes up in nearly every conversation we have around diversity, equity, and inclusion. But do we really know enough about it? Well, the panel and I did our best to shine a light on where bias comes from, how we can learn from it and tackle it, and how we can call it out, not just in other people, but also in ourselves. It's tough to confront our own potential bias, but the panel was so honest and brave, and it really is only in these kinds of authentic conversations that we're going to make progress. So what a week! They were two eye-opening shows, and I hope you enjoyed them. But if you missed them, you can catch up over on letstalksupplychain.com, on our YouTube channel, or anywhere else that you subscribe to the show. Flexport was episode 396, and Blended was episode 397. Let's Talk Supply Chain is not your average supply chain podcast. We feature not just the top of the industry, but also diverse voices from within the community, new innovations, and the disruptors making waves in the industry. Don't listen to the same old, same old. Be sparked by new ideas and fresh perspectives only on Let's Talk Supply Chain. When you're looking for cutting-edge resources on innovation and trends across supply chain, where do you go? What about when you're on a mission to find like-minded professionals and cultivate relationships that go beyond an emoji reaction? And what about when you're trying to generate leads, build campaigns, and get ahead of the game in the unique world of supply chain marketing? Supply chain has been missing a single collaborative hub that brings people and ideas together in an environment that is safe yet stimulating for everyone. Until now. Just one platform that's as dynamic and innovative as you are. Welcome to the Secret Society of Supply Chain, a private network for the supply chain community. An industry first brought to you by supply chain media entrepreneur Sarah Barnes Humphrey. The Secret Society of Supply Chain brings professionals of all backgrounds and experience levels together in the industry's largest dynamic network, focusing on industry learning and career development, as well as networking and community. The Secret Society of Supply Chain hosts all the content, connection, and creativity you need for supply chain success. But which group is for you? Well, head over to letstalksupplychain.com, find the Secret of Society banner, and take the quiz and join our waitlist. There are limited number of spots available, so make sure to get on that waitlist so that you are one of the first into the Secret Society of Supply Chain. Hello and welcome back to Let's Talk Supply Chain. Now, there's so much happening behind the scenes here at Let's Talk Supply Chain. My word of the year is growth. The brand is growing, the team is growing, and so is our roster of incredible live shows. A brand new show launched on February 21st, and it is hosted by one of our favorite women in the industry. She has been the subject of one of our Women in Supply Chain shows. She's featured on Blended, and of course, she's a powerhouse professional in her own right. Can you guess who she is? Well, I'll let you know after the poll of the week. So we ask you a question every single Wednesday morning across the Let's Talk Supply Chain LinkedIn and Instagram. And the question we asked you, what is your perfect work environment? 46% of you said balanced atmosphere. 33% of you said remote bliss. 12% of you said collaborative spaces. And 8% of you said quiet office. And that's with almost 500 votes. Now, I talked to Paula from Google about this on a most recent episode of Thoughts and Coffee, which you can find over at the Let's Talk Supply Chain YouTube page. And she also mentioned balanced atmosphere, like 46% of you. when she talked about balanced atmosphere, I was thinking like hybrid, but then I was also starting to think that balanced atmosphere works for me as well. I work from home, but then I'm also at a lot of in-person conferences. And to me, now that I think about it, that's my balanced atmosphere. And so I would also go along with that 46%. Well, thank you so much to everybody who weighed in on the question of the week. We will be back with another question next Wednesday. So make sure that you're part of that conversation because we want to hear from you. So now back to today's episode. And which multi-talented woman is hosting our brand new show? Well, it's Christine Barnhart. Christine is Chief Marketing and Industry Officer at Newlogy, an award-winning provider of supply chain collaboration and operational solutions. And her brand new show for us is called Supply Chain Unfiltered. Every third Wednesday of the month, Christine will be joined by innovators and thought leaders to have candid conversations about the challenges that supply chain professionals face, which is a lot, right? And if you know Christine, you'll know that she isn't afraid to tell it like it is. And in today's show, Christine is joined by Karen Bursa, CEO of Nerakio, to take on some big questions. Will we always be playing catch up in an industry that moves the goalpost faster than we can manage? Is it possible to avoid the ERP trap in order to implement the systems that businesses need to function in a collaborative supply chain ecosystem? And what can organizations do to lay the groundwork for more interconnected, interoperable supply chain networks? So just a few tough topics to kick off the new series, and you are going to love this brand new show. So grab a coffee and a notepad and get ready to be educated and inspired with Supply Chain Unfiltered.
Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of Supply Chain Unfiltered. I am Christine Barnhart, and I'm going to be your host this morning, and I am so looking forward to talking to you. I could not be more excited, quite frankly, and I hope you came prepared, because I'm probably not your typical podcast host. I tend to be pretty direct. I don't mince words necessarily. We'll see how our special guest describes me when I bring her on. But before we do that, I really would like to get to know all of you and find out who's watching us today. So hop on the chat and let me know, you know, give us a shout out. Let me know where you're joining us from, so that we can say hello to you. So who do we have? I see Sid. Good morning, Sid. We look forward to having you as well. Hi, Frankie. And I see Ryan. Where are you guys from? What part of the world? What part of the country? I normally am in the middle of the country. I like to call it Heavensville. It's really Evansville, Indiana. But this week you catch me in Gulf Shores, Alabama. It's beautiful and sunny and 20 or 30 degrees warmer than it is back home. So, oh, good morning, Sarah. We are so glad that you're with us from Toronto. And Rob Johnson from Mount Juliet, Tennessee, you know right where you're at. Awesome. Awesome. It sounds like we're going to have a lot of fun today. And so as you dial in or log in, I show my age here. Just give us a shout out in the chat. We're pretty casual. So as we bring up, you know, various questions and themes and discussion points, please feel free to either agree with us in the chat or disagree with us in the chat. That makes it a little more interesting. Ask questions. We may not get to all of them, but we're sure going to try. So good morning. Oh, Saudi Arabia, you might win for like the person that is dialed in from the furthest away. London, Ontario. I love it. Oh, Frankie, you serving with the United States Army. Thank you so much for your service. So I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for dialing in this morning. Okay, so we are going to get started. I have an incredible guest for you guys today for our inaugural episode. Karen Bursa is a personal friend of mine, but she's also a mentor. I've done work with her in the past. We actually met in about 2015 when we were doing an implementation of an advanced planning system, Logility, at Berry Plastics, now Berry Global. And I think, Corinne, you were the chief marketing officer at the time, correct, for Logility? Yeah.
That's correct. Hey, Christine, first of all, congratulations on launching Supply Chain Unfiltered. And thank you for the opportunity to be your first guest. That's exciting.
You know what? You were the first person I thought of. You know, Corinne helped me transition from operations and supply chain. I mean, I'm a practitioner at heart, over 20 years. And I knew that I wanted to do more. I wanted to have more reach. And I kind of watched what Corinne was doing with Logility. And I was like, you know, I can help. Like, I could go into a technology company and kind of bring that voice to the customer and the perspective of all the things that drove me crazy for the previous 20 years. So I appreciate, you know, just you helping me kind of make that transition into technology. So,
absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, it's so important to be like you. I had a practitioner background, right? And I saw the opportunity for technology to make it better, right? Make every day a little bit better, gain more visibility. And so I wanted to be part of helping many companies, not just one company, do that. And kind of fell in love with supply chain technology. So it's been a lot of fun. And the opportunity to meet practitioners like you, right, that are getting it done and helping their companies be more successful is just really huge. And so I'm so glad you've joined the technology sector, because I think your practical experience can help drive innovation in a way that's meaningful. Right? It's not pie in the sky. It's not just about the latest new technology gizmo. It's about how do we use it to automate, to gain visibility, to accelerate the movement of goods. So, Christine, I love seeing all the good work you're doing.
Thank you. You like make me blush. Quit. Oh my goodness. So hopefully we're going to have a lot of fun this morning. We only have about 25 minutes here. And I kind of have like three kind of topic areas that I want to talk about. One is just kind of your opinion on where supply chain is. The second would be, can we get out of the ERP trap, please? Like, I'm so tired of people like, oh, I can't do anything else right now. I'm just doing ERP. And then the third thing I want to hit on is interoperability. And this is like, this word is so loaded is what I've learned. So that's kind of the three areas that we're going to talk about. As I said, we're going to try to take, you know, comments and questions from our audience, which is a pretty lively. I still see a lot of people dialing in, and Frankie's like visibility and transparency to increase efficiency. Mm-hmm. I love it. And we are really glad, Frankie, that you like to see women in supply chain, because we're not going anywhere. So, okay. So let's get started. Where do you think supply chain is right now, Corinne? I kind of have my own opinions, but I don't want to bias yours.
Yep. So the first thing I want everyone to hear is it's a great time to be in supply chain. It is. If you want to make an impact, you're in the right domain expertise. The second thing is there's some really cool stuff happening, but we have to get out of our own way. The biggest barrier, Christine, really to automation, innovation, visibility is something called spreadsheets. We have got to give up the security blanket of a spreadsheet or the makeshift planning environment of spreadsheets, because they introduce risk. They make our business riskier, not more resilient.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think even like spreadsheets are a huge problem. Totally agree with that. But even like if I think more, you know, kind of at a macro level, when I started, I was in supply chain, I just didn't know it, like in 96, I was in manufacturing for Whirlpool. And, you know, it was like easy, quite frankly, to outsource. It was easy for us to think about, you know, moving sub-assemblies to Mexico and, you know, buying motors out of China. The geopolitical climate was such that it was, we were really, you know, encouraging geographic expansion. And we were post kind of the Cold War. Things were pretty stable. I mean, yes, you know, since then we've had, Iraq and Afghanistan, but those kind of manufacturing centers until recently were fairly stable. You know, that's changed. I don't think it's going to change back, at least not overnight. And then the other big thing is just climate, right? Like, I didn't worry about shipping something, you know, to Thailand because they weren't having, you know, not hurricanes. What did they have?
Tsunamis.
They weren't having tsunamis with nearly the frequency that they have today. So, you know, I think that the climate is much less stable geopolitically. We're much less stable. And all of that, like, it's not going away. So it was always there, I think, but it feels like it makes supply chain so much more complicated than what it was even 10 or 15 years ago.
Well, so a lot of what you described is this ability to be more resilient, to kind of breathe. If we think of our supply chains as living and breathing entities, they need to be able to change over time. So the ability to bring in new suppliers or to move demand from one node to another node, or to look at different shipping lanes that are available to us, right? So that is what has changed, our expectation of that agility to move and be more resilient. Now, the thing that is fantastic is supply chain is a boardroom conversation now, right?
That's
so
true.
Thanks to COVID, everybody knows what supply chain is, right? When my family members, even though I've done this for almost 30 years, when my family members could not get toilet paper, they finally understood supply chain, right?
<Mine too. laughs>
Right? Despite all the conversations before that. So I think that it has a seat at the table as a domain, as an expertise. We understand the value creation for supply chain and therefore, honestly, Christine, the need for technology. We have to replace physical inventory with information.
Yeah. Well, and I think Frankie in the chat kind of hit it. It, you know, it's like spreadsheets are so yesterday, which I think is true. Like 10 years ago, supply chains weren't moving as dynamically and as they are today. And you could have an ERP and a spreadsheet and you could get things done. It probably wasn't optimal, but it worked. Now there's, you know, just so much complexity and so much disruption that quite frankly, if you're only applying an ERP and a spreadsheet, you're at a competitive disadvantage.
That is correct. And maybe just a word about ERP, right? Enterprise Resource Planning Systems. Okay. These systems were really built for feeds and speeds, right? So originally, the ability to do accounting, right? To look at invoices and billing and receivables and be able to show the state of the business today. They weren't intended to plan the business for the future. Yeah. So many of us recognize that our ERP systems are not even good for financial budgeting, right? Predicting the future, budgeting next year, right? Much less planning things like demand forecast or inventory positioning or production planning or distribution, right? These are planning functions that require the ability to model multiple scenarios.
Yes.
You can't do that.
ERPs are really good as a system of record, and I don't advocate that we eliminate ERP by any stretch of the imagination. I think they have their place. But I think, you know, if you have a company that is of some size and complexity, and especially if you're operating and, you know, you have multiple product lines and multiple geographies, you have to start thinking kind of beyond an ERP and looking at, you know, a complementary advanced planning system that can give you that's really focused, purpose built for planning. And that, I think, for people that dial in to the podcast, you're going to hear me like utilize that purpose yep. built, like what was this solution built for? What industry was it built for? What problem was it built to solve? Mm-hmm. Because one size does not fit all.
And exactly what you said, purpose driven, right? With the purpose of looking at inventory, production, planning, sourcing, distribution. I think it's really critical because we now have a science of supply chain planning, right? It's a domain you can be certified in.
Yeah.
You can get your college degree in supply chain because it is a recognized discipline that actually has science behind it to improve performance. So I think that focus is really going to be valuable, right? Sure. And not purpose-built, not purpose-built for everyone, but industry-specific is critical.
So just a little bit of a poll of our audience. Mm-hmm. I would love to know here, whose company is currently doing an ERP upgrade? You don't have to tell me which ERP, but I would love to understand how many of you are like, oh yeah, we're in the middle of an ERP yeah. upgrade, right? Because, you know, we talk to a lot of customers, a lot of prospects, mostly in like CPG, pharma. And if I had to guess, I'd say 80%. Are in the midst of trying to move to, you know, kind of a modern cloud mm-hmm. ERP. Yep. So let's see what we have here. Man, a lot of really great feedback. Duria, nice to see you. It's been too long. Thank you for the compliment. So the Army is doing some stuff with GCSS. Yep. A lot of explosion with like facilities. It's interesting too, yep. because the other thing that we're seeing is a lot of growth in external manufacturing. So I've gotten like three different data points that say for both CPG and pharma, about 30% of finished goods now are actually being produced by third parties. So when you think about, you have an ERP, that's an enterprise system, right? An APS is an enterprise system. You have to start then thinking about, well, what about these people that are not part of my enterprise? They're not within my four walls. And I think we always had that issues with suppliers, like raw material, ingredient, component suppliers. But when more than 30% of your finished goods are coming from a third party, mm-hmm. that really changes the discussion and leads me to one of the other bullets that I said I wanted to talk about, which was interoperability. What is interoperability? What does it mean to you, Corinne?
Yeah, it's a mouthful, but it's important, right? We called it collaboration as far back as the early 2000s, with the very first initiatives in collaborative planning across a supply chain network. Right. So not just your proverbial four walls, but reaching out and bringing trading partners into that, customers and suppliers. Right. So production partners, distribution, packaging partners, these are trusted trading partners. Now, the big problem with inventory, quite honestly, is most companies have too much of the wrong stuff and not enough of the right stuff. Right. So they're doing a poor job of planning the time phase needs for inventory. Right. So when we extend that out to include interoperability, to include our ecosystem, our trusted production and distribution partners or suppliers, we want to give them visibility. And in order to do that, that's the interoperability that we hear about, right? We want to exchange that data between trading partners. So it's a big word. It sounds super complicated, but when you boil it down, it is the efficient transfer of orders, status, and distribution, right? It may also include things like product recipes, or new packaging, or promotional artwork. So there are a lot of these other things that we want to communicate electronically because it's faster, it's more consistent, and it keeps us in sync, right? We are synchronized and responding to customer demand or consumer demand in an orchestrated fashion. So, Christine, we've been talking about collaboration, multi-enterprise collaboration, ecosystem collaboration,
right,
since the early 2000s. It's not a new idea, but the technology to do it is so much better today. Yeah. It's so much better.
Yeah, I think one of the big things that I see is people utilize the terms integration and interoperability interchangeably. And while they're related, right, they both really speak to, you know, data exchange.
Yep.
Interoperability really, in my opinion, describes the extent to which both like the systems can both exchange and interpret data, because data in and of itself doesn't do much for you. You have to be able to interpret that data, make sense of the data, glean insights from the data, and and you know, interchange, which is, I think that's the difference between what you see, you know, companies were doing 20 years ago with EDI versus kind of this, you know, new realm of supply chain, where more and more companies are starting to look at multi-enterprise applications that allow them, yes, to integrate, but also to interpret the data, give them like a system, if you will, of engagement that brings, you know, really purpose-built view, if you will, of what's happening with that data and what's happening between those partners. Does that, I mean, does that resonate?
Oh, absolutely. And it is exactly what you're talking about, right? It's not just the exchange, I give you data. It's that you're going to enrich that data with the latest update, the latest information or quality or shipping details, and give that back to me so that we are functioning against the same plan, right? We've got the same plan in place. We understand critical path items because, quite honestly, Christine, when it comes to working with trading partners, I mean, the goal is the same: provide great service and build brand affinity, or build the brand in the marketplace so that we have brand preference in place.
Yes.
The problem is, without the visibility of where we are in producing and distributing those goods, is we start hoarding inventory in these pockets, and we're running our businesses with way too much working capital tied up, right? We want velocity. We want to bring those products to market just in time for consumer demand.
Yeah.
That way, when we're thinking of things like food and beverage industry, I mean, we've got to be concerned with freshness, product freshness, right? Shelf life associated with it. There's a reason why many in the food and beverage sector, or the fast-moving consumer goods sector, have relied on trading partners, on outsourced manufacturing, because they want to be close to the market.
Right.
They want to be close to the customers that they're served, or they want to drive innovation and look at new product introductions as a part of their portfolio they're offering, right? There's a reason that pharmaceutical companies have been leaders in leveraging contract manufacturing and distribution partners. It's because they want to comply with all of the government regulations in the industries they serve. And it's easier to do that when you're in country or in region.
Right.
Exactly. To do that. Right. But we want to do that in a very orchestrated way. And we want to replace risky inventory with valuable insights, valuable visibility about the business and how we're performing as a team, not just a single player in the entity, but the full team.
You know, it's interesting. So I was trying to break this down for somebody to understand recently. And I used like an at-home kind of analogy. And I'm like, you know, if I'm at home and I'm making a grocery list, I open the cabinets, I open the refrigerator. Oh yeah, you know what? I still have a half gallon of milk. I don't need to buy milk, right? Yeah. But if I'm out running errands and I'm like, oh, you know, I know that I need a few things, and I go to the grocery, I end up buying stuff that I don't need, right? And then I end up with another gallon of milk. And by the way, now I'm at risk of expiry because I can't utilize a gallon and a half of milk. Now, you know, like 5 years ago when my boys were still at home. Yes. But now when it's just me and my husband, I'm like, yeah, this doesn't work. So now I have to be a lot more diligent in that, you know, I got to either call my husband at home and say, do we have this? Or I just wait. And then I wait till I get home and I do an Instacart order while I'm looking at my inventory. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we naturally understand how yep. to manage these processes at home, but for whatever reason, it's really difficult to get us to apply this in a business sense. Why do you think that is?
So I think it's scale. I think it's that as individuals, no one individual can collect all that data in the time needed to be responsive to the market. I mean, the reason we plan is because we can't procure, produce, and distribute, in 3 hours time, right? When the consumer is going to be there shopping, right? We need to plan in advance or anticipate consumer demand so that we can position the product so it is available for them. I mean, but what you described, I mean, you and I could talk about this forever, but looking in the refrigerator, that is your Kanban signal, right? I mean, that's what am I out of, right? That's a manufacturing term.
You have room to fit in the fridge.
I know, yeah, exactly. So I think that, you know, we want to accelerate the flow of that information. So you mentioned EDI earlier. You know, EDI was awesome when it was first brought to market. It was the first time we could connect and get a reliable signal across our trading partners. Now technology has moved so far beyond that basic capability that we actually want to have an exchange back and forth, not just a status update. And I think that it's really important to leverage that. And quite honestly, I think it's important. The smaller you are, the more important it is. Because you don't have the bandwidth and you don't want to chain your valuable planners to their desk that is tied to an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, so we have some really great comments and I don't want to lose them. So I'm going to go through some of these. So Frankie talked about agreed KPIs with suppliers and measurements. I could not agree more that... You got to have like a shared set of truth. And honestly, it's not just the KPI itself. I think it's the definition of the KPI and making sure that you are measuring it the same way. When I was at Berry and, you know, we were shipping out packaging to some of the biggest CPG manufacturers in the world. There were times that we're doing great. Like we're meeting our metric, but our customers did not always agree with us, right? Because they were measuring us differently.
Yep. Happens a lot. Happens a lot. Not just Berry. It happens more than most of us think.
So a great comment from Lars. Lars, I appreciate you staying up late and working. You're retired and you're in, I think, Stockholm, right? And you're up late with us. So Lars says the challenge is to move from a linear structure in ERP to a network. And I could not agree more. You and I have talked, you know, that, you know, for me, part of my passion is really getting people to understand that it's a network. You know, it's like spaghetti. If you think it's linear, you're not managing it correctly. So I really love that. Some other comments here, supply chain needs to sing off the same like sheet music, the same song, the same sheet music. And that I think speaks to, if all you do is care about your enterprise and within your four walls, you might be in harmony, but as soon as you start to bring in those suppliers, those co-packers, the contract mm-hmm. manufacturers, it's just noise because everything is off key, right?
Yep.
So I don't know what your thoughts are about that.
Well, it's exactly what you described. It is time phased needs, right? So it's we're moving those products to market. There's a reason we are partnered with a co-packer, with a co-man, with a distribution or 3PL partner. The reason is they are skilled at those activities. And they reliably produce and move goods.
Right.
right? And as a brand owner who works with those trading partners, with those partners in the industry, we want to be marching towards the same music, right? So right. to use that music analogy, they can't have a different song playing because then we're off, you know, we're off beat. We're not in synchronization.
Right.
So totally agree. So
I only have time for one more comment. It's from an anonymous user. So they didn't, it's just LinkedIn user, but it says, finally moving the beer game learnings to reality. And I've played the beer game so many times and I love it. But honestly, I feel like people walk away from that little session and within less than 48 hours, they've forgotten everything they've learned. So how do we do that, Corinne? Like 30 seconds. How do we get supply chain professionals and others in the business to understand that the beer game reflects reality and we need to apply the same principles to our business?
Yeah. So if you're playing the beer game with tools from 20 years ago, you're going to slip into bad habits quickly, right? Because it's too hard. It takes too much time, too much effort to plan manually. If you're playing the beer game with today's cloud-based solutions that keep you up to date, that synchronize and accelerate decision-making in your business, you're going to have time to have that beer after work.
Yeah. And I prefer that. So I really hope this was informative, enjoyable. It's our first episode, so please feel free, send in your comments, additional questions, connect with us on LinkedIn or connect with us at one of our upcoming events. I think Corinne and I are both going to be at the Gartner Supply Chain Symposium in May. Yeah. We would love to see you there. We also have a webinar coming up next week with the Association of Supply Chain Management. Laura Ciceri, another one of my mentors, is going to be talking with us about a lot of these same themes and kind of diving into some research that she did. And I hope you'll hit us up next month. So we will see you next month on March the 20th at 10 a.m. Special guest is actually going to be the Newlogy founder and CEO, Jason Tam. He's going to talk about why he became a founder, what his passion has been in driving the business, and why he is so excited about our new investor, which is Rubicon Technology Partners, and what that really means in terms of innovation and how it's going to impact our customers, our prospects, and our employees like me. So I'm super excited for the next episode, and I hope you guys will join me. Thank you so much, Corinne. This has been so much fun.
Thank you, Christine. Anytime.
Did you know that the average cost of losing an hourly supply chain worker has reached $19,607? And that recent research shows that 77% of hourly supply chain workers are considering a job change in the next 3 months. This could have a huge impact on your productivity, bottom line, and culture. Workstep is helping supply chain companies to better engage their distributed hourly workforce at scale. Understand the true reasons behind their workforce turnover and take actions to make positive changes and reduce attrition. Workstep has successfully helped many companies reduce their frontline worker turnover by up to 36%. Visit workstep.com to learn more. If you would like to hear more from us at Let's Talk Supply Chain, we have plenty more content for you featuring the best and brightest in the industry. Head over to letstalksupplychain.com to check out the latest. And if you have a supply chain challenge, we've most likely had the solution on the show. So make sure to use that search bar on letstalksupplychain.com. Enter in your keyword and all that content will come up and you can find out whether you're the ideal client, whether they are the solution for you. And remember to come back next week. I'm going to be joined by Pam Simon for this month's episode of the Woman in Supply Chain series. Pam is a successful entrepreneur and business connector with more than 20 years of experience in event production, content creation, experiential marketing, and angel investing. In 2019, Connective acquired her Future of Event series from Lab Ventures. And with that acquisition, Manifest was launched. I bet you didn't know that. So I'll be asking her all about it, as well as the other amazing projects that she's been a part of, because let me tell you, There have been a lot. She really is quite an incredible woman, and I have a ton of questions for her. And I think you're really going to enjoy this one, so make sure you don't miss it. If you enjoy the show, there's a few ways to support us. You can follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. We're also over on TikTok. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Let's Talk Supply Chain, and subscribe to our newsletter over at letstalksupplychain.com. You can also find some really cool merch for that supply chainer in your life over at letstalksupplychain.com under shop as well. And then if you're looking for a community that is right for you, well, look no further. We've got the Secret Society of Supply Chain, and we've got three membership groups: the supply chainers that have exclusive content, exclusive networking opportunities, and exclusive job openings just for our members. Then we have the virtual monthly meetup for women in supply chain, where you are going to learn so much about yourself, so much about others. It's about networking, career growth, and so much more. You're not going to want to miss that. We are building our second cohort as we speak right now. And third, the virtual monthly meetup for marketing professionals in supply chain. We're going to put you in front of potential clients, experts in marketing, so you can continue to learn and grow and make the most out of your marketing campaigns in supply chain. So head over to the secretsocietyofsupplychain.com and check out the community group that's right for you. And last but not least, if you head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review the show, we will feature you on an upcoming episode.
Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening. And remember, ship happens.